This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Well, Luigi Mangione is being slow walked into a van in, is this New York City? Yes, in New York City. Did they fly him the whole way by helicopter from Pennsylvania?
Maybe? I'm not sure. I know that it's on a pier and it looks very movie-esque.
Yeah, I hate every bit of it.
I do too. But you can see why it's being covered because it, like, these shots look
from a media standpoint.
I mean,
standpoint,
from a media
yes.
standpoint, it's like, wow, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Looking.
So Luigi Mangione is the assassin of what sorts, whatever, terrible human being who shot that United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson, and The thing about this that I hate so much is that he's become this. I really do believe that it is a post-Trump victory. We need something.
Oh, I do too. Yeah,
and
no doubt about it.
It's very weird to say like that this would have anything to do with Donald Trump, but where was Kamala Harris the whole campaign talking about completely reforming the healthcare industry? They're like, leave Obamacare as it is.
Yeah.
So. Stop it with this some sort of political statement that you are going to somehow like just normalize the idea of taking out a human being who's a father, a husband. It doesn't to me like every time I hear people say he has a wife and children, there are reports that he was separated from her, which I'm always just kind of putting in the back of my mind. But it doesn't look like that had anything to do with it. But I mean, he's a human being. He is a person whose life was valid, even if you disagree with things that he did. And I don't even know that he really has anything to do with the things that these people who are now lording Luigi Mangione. I mean, you guys are grasping at straws and you're glorifying a murderer in the process. It's just, it's gross. So we have two big stories. Ryan was kind of highlighting this before we went on the air. We have two big stories. One is the continuing resolution, or CR, as you might hear it be referred to. I think that we do a really bad job in the media saying abbreviations to things or using lingo that people don't understand.
I disagree, AF.
I think you're wrong, AF. Annie Fry.
Somebody was commenting on my Patriot shirt yesterday and said, AF, that means Annie Fry, right?
Yes.
I said, yes, it does.
Yes, I'm a Jesus person.
Yes.
It does. It literally does. You know, if you're watching the continuing resolution, the budget spending, the big bloated CR that was looking like Ryan Schmelz kind of tipped us off to this earlier in the week when we talked to him as a Fox News Radio White House Capitol Hill correspondent, I should say. There's this big bloated bill, and we're like, oh yeah, Elon Musk, Vivek Ramaswamy coming in to cut spending. And the people in the House right now are like, well, just a little second, we're going to slide this in here before the end. It's obnoxious and stupid, and it's very predictable in a normal functioning way of politics, but we are not in that anymore. And I can't take for serious a Republican who is like, oh, I'm totally hardcore Doge in 2025.
Right. Like, not now, though.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
You are or you aren't. And that's a big story. This Mangione story has so much salaciousness and this weird fetishized nature of who this guy is from the loonies out there right now. But Ryan, you said you think it's just the sexier story, and that's what leads.
It really is, because this story about the Doge, the continuing resolution, the House, who's going to be the Speaker of the House, that's the poll. You know, this all is really, really important long-term stuff. And this is where the rubber meets the road. I mean, he's not president yet, but Donald Trump is going to be president in just about a month, just a month and a day. And this stuff matters tremendously. This is one of the reasons he's going into office. Yet, Luigi Mangione is leading the news coverage because, man, America loves a story. These are the real crime stories. It's happening in real time.
I hate it.
I do too, but I can see why it's
covered. Here's what I want to have happen. I want them to report in. I want Brett Baier every day in his news report, maybe Bill Hemmer, who always sits in such an aggressive position in his desk. You look like he's so intense about reporting the news that he might come at you.
You listen to me.
I love why.
Eyes right here.
America's Newsroom and Dana Perino is my all-time favorite person on Fox News. I want her to mentor me sometime, which is what a crazy person might say, but yeah. I'm still throwing it out.
You should write her a letter that says that.
Yeah.
With a picture of you and her Photoshop.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, friend.
This is what it would look like if we did this.
Yeah. No, I just think she's great. Very successful, so on and so forth. But watching Bill Hemmer and Dana Perino report the news in the morning, and then recap with the news of the day when Brett Baier goes at it at whatever his time slot is, 5 o'clock our time, and then be done with it. But I don't need to watch this jack butt to pull a line from yesterday in our Happy Gilmore conversation, get on the helicopter and slow walk, like you said, on the pier. It's just kind of an ominous movie set looking thing, surrounded by SWAT guys with helmets and, you know, guns that Democrats think are super scary. I don't need to see all of that in a slow walk where in a movie, you would say, who's the center of attention on the set right now? And then you put everybody else around them in blend into the background clothing and make sure that, granted, he's walking in an orange jumpsuit, but everything else around him is muted and he's just parading and he's got his head held high. He's kind of looking around. I believe he's looking for cameras and he's getting a moment. He doesn't deserve a moment. He doesn't deserve it. Don't we have documentation from him that says that I did this, I acted alone?
Yes.
So, like, the craziest outcome here is that he's lying about that and he's a fall guy, which some people on X think that might be the case. But in the meantime, he says he's a murderer. Can we not give him the Hollywood movie star treatment? Can we make him regretful for the decisions that he's made to take a man's life? And we should be talking about Mike Johnson. I want cameras surrounding Mike Johnson in a bright suit and everybody else in muted clothing. Until we get a deal.
Me too. I want it to be like Truman Show. Everybody's following Mike Johnson. Maybe Mike Johnson doesn't even know.
Okay.
He's just trying to get the people's work
done. If he's in public space, you can take video. So like watching Mike Johnson in the morning getting ready in the mirror.
Yeah.
You think he all of draws it. Like an alien, or not an alien, yeah. A spacesuit?
Whatever the sound he was making.
The Johnson Show.
I mean, that is an intriguing man.
I think it would be really funny. You know, if you've ever looked at reports, analytics, and stuff, if you have social media accounts that you look at business wise or whatever, you can see like how many people tune in, and then how long. If it's a 60-second video, you can see how quickly they fall off. Okay, the majority of your people watched 12 seconds of your 60-second video. 20% of them watched all of it, whatever. And then there's some metric that tells you what's good. I think that you would see a lot of people tune into the Johnson Show that immediately are like, oh, this is not what I thought it was.
This is really boring.
There's a big peak at the beginning,
yeah,
and then it drops off. But then there's another big bump later in the season when we find out he's married to Laura Linney.
Oh, who knew? Yeah. I gotta Google who that is. Yeah.
Big That's peak. From the Truman Show.
Oh, is she the blonde?
Yeah, she's the wife.
Laura Linney.
Laura Linney.
Was she in the Men in Black movie? No, I'm thinking of somebody else.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We don't need to go down that road.
No, it's okay.
I want to know what is happening minute by minute with the people's money.
I do too.
not with a murderer.
I mean, we are following that. I mean, that's one of the reasons you're probably tuning in, is to follow that. We are following that minute by minute. Elon Musk weighing in, Vivek Ramaswamy. They have outsized influence that, you know, these people used to not have. But I, just to put a bow on the Mangione thing, a second ago, we watched him walk in this perp walk down this pier with the water behind him, and it really does look like a movie.
They're replaying
and
it right now.
And I looked at it, I said, is that live? Because that is going to be replayed forever,
you
that
said,
perp walk right there.
They're getting the B-roll.
And they've got it, and so we're just watching it over and over and over. But the thing is, this is exactly what this guy wanted.
I count 15 people, and that's just on a quick count, 15 people walking around him. And I mean, like, you're looking at heavy SWAT and NYPD, and is that Mayor Adams all the way to the back of him, I think?
I can't tell.
He's there. I don't know if that's him.
Yeah. This is what he wanted?
Well, this is his dream come true. When he planned this whole thing, it could not have gone better for him. This is exactly what he wanted, unless he thought maybe he'd get away with it and he'd never be found. But I doubt that. I think he knew he would be found eventually, and he wanted to be a folk hero, and he's become exactly that.
Some would say folk hero. Gary says on YouTube, the killer has more protection than Trump did.
That's a good point.
Why aren't there women surrounding him?
I can't answer that.
Yes, you can. Everybody can. Think about this for a second. Are they protecting him, or are they protecting people from him?
Yeah, they're probably protecting that other people would run up to him, or stopping that.
You don't carry guns like that if you're not prepared to fire back. You don't need that many guns for one guy that you're slow walking in cuffs. They're protecting him. Or the possibility that maybe somebody think is going to try to, like, free him or something. Like, there could be danger. Why is he not surrounded by men and women?
I think it was just luck of the draw.
What are the odds?
Yeah, it was just a bunch of dudes that showed up that day. Today. Earlier today. Moments ago.
Oh, well, what am I saying? Maybe some of them are women.
Yeah, we don't know. A guy that looked like Stone Cold Steve Austin, maybe that was a girl.
There's probably one really beautiful woman who was among them, and I didn't see her, and she's going to get mad at me.
Yeah, Alexis McAdams.
Is that a real person?
Is that Laura Lee? Fox News anchor. She's like their on-site anchor.
Oh, okay. She is very beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm annoyed that the entirety of the beginning of this is watching him walk in. They're going to have a press conference now. What are they going to tell us? What are we going to find out right now? Did he, like, confess to 6 other murders on the helicopter ride over from Pennsylvania?
Yeah, nothing. Nothing. This is reality TV in news, is what this is. But you cannot turn away from it, because it really is. There's a reason why the podcasts for real crime have exploded. People
are
interested.
Are you a real crime person?
I'm not.
Are you bad?
I don't like it.
No, no, no.
I hate it.
Do you?
Oh, I hate it.
I'm glad to hear that, because I don't get it, and I thought I was the only one.
The last thing I want is to entertain a story like that actually happened.
Yeah, the TV shows, when I've watched them, they're not bad, especially with, you're talking about old crimes. You know, this isn't happening now. But I still just, I don't get why people are so fascinated with it.
I'm not into it at all. Fox News reports that the chaotic collapse of the continuing resolution spending bill is putting House Speaker Mike Johnson from Louisiana leadership under the spotlight. And Senator Rand Paul, have you guys heard this, has floated the idea of replacing him with somebody. And he says, you know, crazier things could happen. Who is that person? Well, he's on our list today as our YouTube live chat poll, who should be the next Speaker of the House? Rand Paul has made a suggestion on this, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later here in the show. Go to the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll and tell us who should be the next Speaker of the House. My vote in this might surprise y'all. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. We will talk about that in the 1 o'clock hour. But if you go to the YouTube live chat poll, Mike Johnson's obviously on this list. A couple other names, some that might surprise you. Also, an option of someone else. Go to the YouTube live chat poll if you want to see. Before we talk about it, in the 1 o'clock hour, when we come back, we're going to talk with Hans von Spakovsky. Guess what, Fanny? It's so funny whenever Trump says Fonnie Willis, he always says Fonnie Willis. funny. He always repeats her first name.
It's like,
but he doesn't say Fanny.
He's checking himself.
Yeah, but I think he's just like proving, like, he wants credit for saying it right, but he still thinks it's a funny name. Anyway, Fonny Willis got some bad news today. Hans von Spakovsky is going to break down what's left of anything. The Georgia case in Fulton County for Donald Trump. Lots to come on the Annie Fry Show, and we are so glad that you're here on 97.1 FM Talk. Let's talk to Hans next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
A Georgia Court of Appeals has disqualified the Fulton County DA, Fonny Willis, from that election interference case. It's coming down right now. The case against Trump and more than a dozen others already largely stalled, as you know. The new ruling means that it will be up to the prosecuting attorney's counsel in the state of Georgia to find another prosecutor to decide on the case, to take it over and make a decision as to whether or not they continue with a prosecution of the...
We the people of the United States...
More perfect.
In order to form of our perfect union...
Heritage legal expert Hans von Spakovsky.
Well, Hans, welcome back to the show. Merry Christmas to you. It's always good to speak with you.
Well, Merry Christmas to you and all your listeners, too.
Well, thank you so much for that. I appreciate that. Watching these stories roll in, I can't believe, like, if you're talking about drawing the most inside straight of inside straights, of all of the lawfare that was thrown against Donald Trump, it is amazing to watch the bobbing and weaving through all of this ridiculousness to see Donald Trump continue to come out on top. Tell us what happened in Fulton County, Georgia today and what it means for the future of Donald Trump's legal challenges in Georgia.
Well, folks will recall that when the defense lawyers in that Georgia case raised the issue of the fact that Fannie Willis was having an affair with Nathan Wade, one of the special prosecutors she hired and brought in to help prosecute this case, the trial judge ruled that one of the two of them had to leave the case. He didn't say that both of them should be recused, but only one of them. And so Nathan Wade resigned his position, and he left. That decision was appealed up to the Georgia State Court of Appeals because the lawyers, again, for the defendants, said the judge made an error because of that unethical, unprofessional relationship and other things going on. The judge should have recused both of them.
Hmm.
And in fact, what the Georgia Court of Appeals said today is, yes, the judge did make an error when he allowed one of them to remain on the case, that both of them had to be removed from the case. In fact, the language the court uses is pretty harsh. This is a quote from it. This is the rare case in which disqualification is mandated and no other remedy will suffice to restore public confidence in the integrity of these proceedings. And not only were the two of them recused, but the Court of Appeals said that this case cannot be handled by anyone in Fannie Willis's office. That disqualifies everybody in the DA's office in Atlanta. Now, yeah, they didn't throw out the criminal indictment itself. So the decision now of what to do about this case, since the prosecutors have all basically been tossed out, there's a prosecutor's counsel in Georgia set up by state law. They are the ones who regulate all the county DAs across the state. They now will have to decide whether to assign this case to the DA's office of a different county, or they could just throw out the entire indictment. We're just going to have to wait and see what they do.
That's wild. It's absolutely wild to me. I remember in our conversation, Hans, in our conversations before, I think that what you had said, and I don't even remember which hill we were going over on this roller coaster at the time, but you were talking about how it was probably when Fani showed up and testified and everything was going crazy. And I think you were saying, like, it needs to be taken out of Fulton County, and then they need to see if anybody else actually wants to try this case, which kind of feels like that's where we are right now. Is the ultimate culmination is, no, not you, Fulton County. If anybody else wants to take up this challenge and try to prove this case, they can. I believe at that time you said, I don't think anybody else in Georgia will take it up. What do you think about that right now?
I think there's actually a very strong possibility that the prosecuting counsel will just toss out the whole indictment. And I also believe that if they try to assign it to another county DA, I'm not sure there's any other DA anywhere in Georgia that would be willing to go forward with this case. By the way, people should keep in mind, remember, very early in this case, one of the possible defendants that Fannie Willis was targeting was a Republican state senator who is now the lieutenant governor of the state. She was recused by the trial judge of targeting the lieutenant governor in her grand jury investigation, because at the very same time she was targeting him with the grand jury investigation, she was helping the Democratic opponent of this guy in the lieutenant governor's race. That case, after she was recused, was also sent to the prosecuting attorney's counsel, and about, 2 months ago, the prosecuting counsel, they didn't assign it to another DA. They dismissed the entire case and said that the lieutenant governor should never have been targeted in an investigation to begin with. So that's an example of what that prosecuting counsel can do.
I mean, Trump feels really good today, right? This has got to be wonderful news for the Trump team, the Trump legal team. What's left for him to push back on? My understanding is in the Manhattan case, where he was found guilty 34 times, we keep seeing convicted felon, convicted felon, convicted felon. That's not exactly accurate either, but he also hasn't been exonerated yet. What legal challenges really still do face Donald Trump?
Well, those cases are still problematic. The prosecution by Alvin Bragg is the judge. Judge Merchant keeps refusing to dismiss it. He, in fact, issued an order just a couple of days ago saying, I'm not going to dismiss this case entirely, but it's still hanging out there. It's also on appeal. Because Trump's lawyers have raised all kinds of mistakes and errors made in the case. Plus, remember, we still have the outstanding huge judgment in the civil suit that Letitia James, the attorney general, filed against him. And she has announced that she refuses to dismiss that case. So, unfortunately, he's still got those New York cases pending against him, but look, the federal cases, they're gone. They've been dismissed by the Justice Department. The Georgia case is on its last legs. In fact, I think they would probably need CPR to get it going again. I don't think that's going to happen. So really, his biggest problems that are left are these New York cases.
Hans von Spakovsky with us right now. Did we determine that Fannie Willis's lover boy there was colluding with the White House? How much do we know about the coordination that was taking place across the board on these challenges against Trump?
Well, the House committee investigating all of this has was able to show that he met more than once with the White House, with the White House counsel's office, although Wade takes the position that he can't remember what was discussed. Yeah, right.
couldn't recall a lot of things. I remember that part.
Yeah. He's had very convenient amnesia about it all. And what folks need on, some people might say, well, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is that there was absolutely no reason whatsoever to meet with the White House. The White House had no evidence of any kind, the Biden White House, pertinent to the prosecution being waged down in Atlanta. There could have been, because there's no justifiable reason for it connected to the lawsuit, the only reason you could have a meeting like that is for political reasons. And what that does is puts the fingers of the White House on this being a political case, a case filed for political reasons. There was no other reason for the White House counsel's office to be talking to one of the prosecutors in this case. None.
Which is what Trump has been saying the whole time, that it was always a coordinated attack, lawfare against him. That has been, how many times has he said that? If he said it once, he said it three times in a row. Hans, I want to shift gears real quick because I think I was saying this at the beginning of the show. I was talking about the CR, and then I said on the air, sometimes we start talking in language because we pay attention to this stuff, not even daily, but almost minutely. And we're talking CR, and there's a lot of people who are like, I don't know what a CR is, a continuing resolution. So we're trying to use more vocabulary here. But can you break down super elementary explanation of Mike Johnson put forth this CR or continuing resolution to fund the government over the holidays, I think into March, when Donald Trump would be in the presidency. So there'd definitely be a game change there. What is the big hubbub? Why do we keep hearing Republicans go, well, I don't even know if Mike Johnson should be speaker anymore? What were they trying to do, and what is the challenge to it?
Here's the basics of this. The fiscal year of the federal government ends in October. That's when the money that has been budgeted to run the federal government runs out. So after October, either they have to come up, Congress has to come up with a new budget for the whole year, a budget that appropriates all the money through October of next year. And if they can't do that, then what they do is a continuing resolution, which simply says whatever amounts government agencies were budgeted to get for the 2024 year, those amounts will continue, usually unchanged, until next month or 2 months later, until they can actually come up with a budget for the whole year. And what so many of the Republicans are complaining about is that the current budget for the federal government, if you're just continuing it, it is so bloated. It's funding. It's not only overspending like crazy, but it's filled with spending for all kinds of programs to continue that they object to. DEI officers throughout the federal government, in the military, and elsewhere, all these things that should not be funded. And so what folks are objecting to is, it doesn't increase funding, it continues funding, but a lot of that funding should not be continued. And that's what they're arguing about.
So if you have somebody like Elon Musk coming in and Vivek Ramaswamy to advise those House members on cutting spending, and you're saying like you kind of almost in some cases win an election because you've been saying that, it seems a little hypocritical right now to be like, oh, but real quick here in 2024, we're still going to fund a bunch of things that maybe exceed the necessity of the American taxpayer dollar.
Oh, that's it. Exactly. I mean, you've just put your finger right on it. And look, I've written about this before. And actually, Mark Levin has a great piece that he's published about this, that Republicans should not be afraid of a shutdown of the federal government. That's always the fear of politicians in Washington. They're afraid that, oh, my God, if the government shuts down, we're going to get blamed for it, as if a shutdown of the federal government is some dire crisis. Actually, it's not. And the reason for that is there's a federal law in place that basically says that even when the government supposedly runs out of money, all of the crucial necessary services will continue. So what does that mean? It means if they can't pass a continuing resolution, Social Security payments will continue to go out.
Hmm.
The Army will continue to be in place. The Federal Aviation Administration will continue to work. All these things will continue to happen, even if the government is supposedly shut down. In fact, the vast majority of the government will remain open.
Yeah, Hans, you know, I was thinking about right now the current situation that has a lot of attention from Americans is these drones flying over New Jersey. We have people reporting now that they're seeing drones flying over in the Metro East area where we live on the Illinois side of the Mississippi River. I've seen that on my social media feeds. Everybody's looking up and seeing drones now. It's kind of the way it is. But if there was some sort of threat to the United States of America, on the surface, I think, well, good grief. Now's not a good time to shut down the government. We need to make sure that we're protected, that our defenses are up and not being unfunded and that those people aren't all at home. You're telling me that we are still a defended nation, that those types of services are still in play and functioning fully during a government shutdown?
That is right. Everything needed for national security, air traffic control, border and coastal protection, all of that continues unabated, even when the government is supposedly shut down because it's run out of money. None of that stops.
All right. Well, Hans, a ton of information from you today. Merry Christmas to you. This will probably be the last time we speak in 2024, but good grief, is there going to be a lot to talk about in 2025? We are especially grateful for you, Hans, and thank you for being with us here each week.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and the same to you and all your listeners. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas to you as well. Thank you so much. Hans von Spakovsky, the best name in the business. Senior legal fellow in Heritage at the Heritage Foundation, DOJ lawyer. His book, Our Broken Elections, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote. He might have to come up with a new book, How Republicans Changed It Back. I don't know. Or maybe the Democrats just suck so bad that they still change the way you vote, but people just were unmotivated. All right, Wiggins America, we come back. The latest trends in sleep. When we come back, Ryan's going to try to put you to sleep or something. I'm not 100% sure, but when you come back, you'll be able to tell quickly what he's talking about here. He's on a health kick this week. Maybe he's preparing for some New Year's resolutions. I don't know that Ryan Wiggins is a New Year's resolution kind of guy. Let's see what he has for us. And Wiggins America, we come back in the YouTube live chat poll. I teased it a little bit before. Rand Paul has a very, very different suggestion as to who maybe should be the next Speaker of the House. Who do you think should be the next Speaker? You think Mike Johnson should be able to keep it or somebody else? You can see the options that we have up on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We're going to discuss it in the 1 o'clock hour. Go vote, but don't go away. Wiggins America next.
Wiggins!
Oh! Wiggins!
Trying to help you guys sleep better. Got a bunch of new wellness and sleeping trends that are making their way around the internet.
How to sleep better? Listening to Wiggins America.
Listen to Wiggins America, and we will put you right to sleep.
We?
Yeah. We. Because you are going to participate in this extremely boring topic. These actually are crazy new sleep trends that some of these I've heard of, some of these I haven't. But they're all under the title sleep maxing. Have you heard of the term?
Oh, gosh, there's a title for everything.
Sleep maxing.
Core.
Yes, there is. No, it's not sleep maxing core. It's just sleep maxing. Any ideas as to what sleep maxing is, just based on the name?
It's how to maximize sleep.
That is correct, Brad.
It's a feminine product.
Thank you.
He's got it. It is how to maximize your sleep. The internet has called that sleep maxing because it needs a name.
No, it didn't.
There were all kinds of ways to do this, though, but the one that's kind of being synonymous with sleep maxing as a term is apparently placing skin-sensitive tape over your mouth before going to sleep.
Mouth taping, I've heard of that.
Have you?
Yeah,
oh,
I've heard of that,
Oh, this is
too.
The first time I've ever heard of this.
Mm-mm.
So this isn't a new trend.
You can do a scotch tape.
Yeah, it just says sleep-sensitive or skin-sensitive tape. With a mustache and a beard, though, I think
we'd
be
a little more difficult.
A little tough.
Also,
for you,
I
just use duct tape.
Yeah, you
forehead
have to wrap it around my
to
head.
Chest
yep.
hair.
Yeah, forehead to chest. Right down my nose?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem very efficient for covering my mouth.
That might help you sleep.
I don't think so.
Forever.
Long time. That's not medical advice. Don't do that. I was just talking to Ryan.
Totally I should duct tape my face before
we'll be covering you being escorted from a helicopter
you
in
get
an orange
better,
jumpsuit.
You get better oxygen flow breathing in through your nose or something. This has got to be close to it, but mouth breathers.
Mm-hmm.
When you're sleeping, if you become a mouth breather, you don't get
knuckle
as much
draggers.
Oxygen. Yeah, you know, they're always there.
Mouth breathers.
Then this helps you get more oxygen when you sleep, which gives you better quality sleep.
That is a fact. 2022 study found.
But I also don't mouth breathe.
That during sleep, mouth taping improved both snoring and sleep apnea among mouth breathers with mild obstructive sleep apnea.
Scale is 0 to 10, 10 being earth shattering. Snorer. How much of a snorer are you? What would you say and what would your wife say?
I'd say 6 or 7. She'd say
11.
Yeah.
That's what every wife would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ethan?
Like a 3.
A 3?
I don't really snore, no.
Not yet, you don't. You're Gen Z.
Just
wait a few years.
What has to happen to cross over that rainbow bridge?
I think mostly you just get older, a little fatter. Just generally less
healthy. Even
wrong.
Your future.
Yeah.
Can't you didn't
wait.
Get older and fatter, Brad.
No. But my snoring went away when I got less fat. So
0 to 10? You have a,
so
you're a 0?
I was a 5 until August of this year whenever I went and saw Dr. Hardiman and he did some sinus surgery.
Go. Good work.
Yeah.
And my wife told me I don't snore anymore.
Huh.
So I was a 5.
Do any of you have sleep apnea? Do you use an oral appliance?
An oral appliance.
Where'd you get it?
Dr. Ty Parker, Fountains Family Dentistry.
Oh. Nice.
But I'm moving. Ching. I've been using that for like 15 years.
Gosh, I want to promote one of our sponsors.
And it's been good, but the problem is sleep apnea doesn't get better. You know, it just sort of keeps degressing.
My dad got a sleep, what do you call it? CPAP.
I'm right there.
He got a CPAP. And I mean, if don't talk to my dad about CPAPs if you don't have 45 minutes of how great his life is now.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I actually do want to talk to your dad now. Because I'm right on the doorstep.
I bet he'd like to talk to you.
I'm knocking on the door of a CPAP.
Hey, that's my dad's Christmas present. Time with Ryan Wiggins. It'll be the best thing you
get. Let's
talk
about CPAPs.
You guys can just get together and talk about how much I'm annoying and I suck.
What's he doing on the morning of the 25th?
The 25th?
Yeah.
Nothing.
I'll probably just go hang out with him.
Yeah, forget your kids on Christmas morning. Go talk to...
Oh, that's right. We do have something that day. I forgot.
My dad is so annoying. Loves Ryan Wiggins. He loves how you get under my skin.
Yeah, I love that
My dad is the OG. Enjoy... Because I've always kind of... Giving it out.
You dished it.
Yeah. What? Yeah. I've always been that kind of person. I've always been the person who's got it back. And I consider it's a game of ping pong. Nice soft touch. Send the ball back. Know it's coming back to you. But the people who are really good at it, you're my dad's favorite.
It's great because I don't directly go at you. I very indirectly kind of try to undermine you.
Exactly.
Which is fun, which is a blast.
No, he gets it. He's like, hey, you know Ryan Wiggins is gold, right? And I'm like, you shut your mouth.
You know what we need to do?
No,
Christmas
we shouldn't.
Morning.
I don't even know
Me,
what it is.
Your dad, our bosses. Just in a room.
Yeah,
just hanging
out. That's exactly where Steve wants to be.
Having some
with
nod.
My dad
yep.
and you in a room with a little persuasion on the table.
I'll bring the burner log. He brings a nog. Steve can bring some whiskey.
Did you say burner log?
Burner log.
I thought you said burger log.
Burger log.
No, burner log.
I think you've underestimated my
Sounds
dad.
Sounds like you've been sniffing some whiskey again.
No, I haven't. So, just to put
osmosis.
A finer point
Speaking
on
of
this.
Sleeping better.
Yeah, I actually did I say this on the air yet? I did a sleep study in one of those labs.
Yeah.
Like 3 weeks ago. And it was weird. It was really weird because they just got you covered in wires while you're asleep.
I'll show you something.
And they have cameras on
Don't
you.
Say that name on the air.
Okay.
That's who?
Okay.
Who is that?
Don't that is
me.
Your dad. Yeah, CPAPs rule. Thank you, foster dad.
If I show up for Christmas and you have a stocking in my house, I'm leaving.
Oh,
adoption papers.
Let's just assume that's
in a stocking. Will you be mine?
Wrong holiday.
So I did this sleep study.
My mom likes you too.
A week and a half.
Super annoying.
That's funny because I never really hear from her.
Well, that's the way she is.
I probably need to hear
it's
from
subtle.
Her a little more often.
She loves you.
Do okay. your parents like
Maybe
Ryan more than you?
It's questionable. Probably depends on the day and the show.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But that's, you know, it is what it is. They just know. They know. They get it.
They get what I do to you.
Yeah.
He's and they
the,
like it.
I think they're paying you.
So it's still really, what's unfortunate, this still really seems like it's about you.
I know.
You know? I don't,
this is the ping pong
I don't
park.
Love that.
Which is why they love it, because it's your drive.
Right.
Ryan said, well, we'll talk about that later. You said that you had a dream last night that I was.
I did. You were adjacent to the dream, but you weren't in it. You were hovering over it.
I'm haunting his nightmare.
You were kind of, actually.
Yeah, like the production, the production yeah. Inside Out. That's yeah, Annie, exactly. Annie was the director of your dream.
She was. She really was. Like it was me and my family doing something, but it was like Annie was present in thought. Like, uh-oh, what's Annie going to say? What's Annie going to think about this? She could have done this better. I know she could have. I'm disappointed. Pointed in you kids. It was that kind of stuff.
That's terrible. You need to feel better? Call my dad. He'll make you feel better.
Okay.
All right. More sleep stuff later in the show, possibly.
Maybe.
Maybe. We'll be right back.